ready when you are, sir.
I'd like to save 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
3 minutes, yes, sir.
And may it please the Court, I'm Christopher Reyes of the Fredericksburg Public Defender's Office. I'm here on behalf of Ms. Somerville today. The issue in this case is whether the pepper spray used by Ms. Somerville was, in fact, gas or noxious or mixture of chemicals that was designed to create a gas or odor and thereby caused injury, falling under Code of Virginia Section 18.2312.
It was referred to as both pepper spray and mace during the trial.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor, but I think that more people and more often it was referred to as pepper spray. There was an odor of pepper spray, and even so, even if it was mace, there was no evidence that mace falls under this statute as well. I believe there is one case by the Court of Appeals where mace was used, but the issue in that case was whether it was a public place. It did not address whether mace actually fell under that statute. So whether we're talking about pepper spray or mace, I think it is the same argument in that it was not a gas and it was not a mixture of chemicals that created an odor of gas, and such odor of gas thereby caused a bodily injury. The evidence that was elicited at the trial was that there was an odor, but it was the direct application of a liquid to the face, to the eyes, that caused burning and irritation. There was another person who was in the vicinity who actually smelled it, said, "I can smell it, it's pepper spray," but he was not injured by it. So it wasn't the odor that caused the injury, it wasn't the gas that caused the injury, it was specifically a liquid that was applied to the face and eyes and skin, and causing burning, irritation, and involuntary closure of the eyes.
Wasn't there a video, though, that showed this, whatever it was, a spray emitting a mist or a cloud around it?
Yes, sir. There was a video that did show what happened here. And in the description of the video in the testimony is that it was a mist, that there was a mist. And obviously the jury did see the video themselves and drew conclusions based on that, but I think we have to look beyond that. A mist is not a gas. A mist is liquid, and that's still what is causing this here. There was someone else there who was in this, and after the mist dissipated or went away, and he could smell it, but that's not what caused the injury. It was a direct application of liquid. Mist in the liquid in the mist that caused these injuries. It wasn't a gas, and it wasn't the odor that caused the injuries here. It was specifically a liquid. I think that we have to look at the intent of the statute as well. There are three gases that are specifically listed, and then there is the broad language that encompasses everything else. And those types of gases are much more dangerous and much more serious than pepper spray. Pepper spray is readily available and is used by people in self-defense. Now, this was not a self-defense case, and I'm not making that argument, but it is a substance that is not as dangerous. There's case law from the Fourth Circuit saying that tear gas is much more harmful and much more dangerous than pepper spray. And so I don't think that the legislature intended for pepper spray to be encompassed under this statute. There's already another statute where it is encompassed. It is already illegal to use pepper spray maliciously. It's under the caustic substance statute. So it would be...
Counsel,
yes?
Sometimes two different statutes can be applicable to a set of facts, correct?
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that. But to enact a statute that encompasses that action when it's already prohibited by the assault statute, I think would just be a duplicitous statute. It doesn't create a new set of circumstances that the legislature is trying to prohibit. It does have the language of in public, and I think that's what we need to look at. This is more of a terroristic statute than it is a simple assault statute. It is used to design, or is designed to prevent mass harm, great harm, that can be created when you release gases in public. Looking at the sarin attacks in Japan, that was gas that was pumped into a subway. It created mass havoc. That absolutely would fall under this statute. Just recently, there was chlorine gas released at a convention that caused a lot of people to get sick. That would fall under this statute. That is not what we have here. We have a single canister, a small canister, that emits a spray, that emits a stream, that emits a liquid, as Officer Cameron said, that caused these injuries. It did not create a huge cloud of gas that affected all the people in this public area. In fact, there were multiple people there, and the only person harmed was the person that got hit with the spray.
Counsel, that's not exactly correct, is it? Isn't the other employee of the establishment, didn't he also experience difficulty breathing, coughing, that type of thing?
I don't believe he said he had difficulty breathing. He did say he coughed.
He
compared it to, it was a minor cough. It did not hurt him. He specifically said he was not hurt. He was not injured. He did not get treated by the paramedics when they arrived. He didn't even seek out treatment because he was not injured. He was fine. It was more along the lines of if you have a very strong smell, like perfume, and you spray too much and you smell it and you cough. But perfume would not fall under this statute because it is not what this statute is designed to do. I think that's what we have here. We have a single canister that emitted a liquid, and that liquid is what caused the harm. It wasn't the odor, and there was no gas. I believe the judge even referenced that in his ruling on my motion, that he didn't think it was a gas, but that wasn't the issue here. So at the most, we have a mixture of chemicals that are designed to create a gas or odor, and that gas or odor caused the injury. But that's not what caused the injury in this case. What actually caused the injury was the direct application of the liquid to the skin. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Judge Huff, and may it please the court. The argument that's been presented that the trial court somehow made a finding that is that requires reversal of the conviction is simply not correct. It's well established that a court speaks only through its orders, and this court entered a final order approving the jury's verdict. There's no further finding required to dispose of that argument. At a bare minimum, the standard of review requires this court to defer to the finding of the jury that saw the videotape of this loss prevention officer being sprayed by what was described as a mist of pepper spray, OC spray. I don't think there really is any serious dispute in the record about whether this was OC spray. The label on the canister says OC.
Mr. Widmer, I'd have to disagree with you on that. In my reading of the record, there were two different cans, and of course they indicated, there was testimony that it came from the one that was pink, if you recall, and of course one indicated mace and one indicated, but of course that could have been the maker of the OC spray, if in fact it was OC spray. But we don't have any definitive determination as to whether it was mace, OC spray, was generally thought to be pepper spray, you know, ultimately. But I don't think that there was a definitive testimony as to that.
No,
Maybe you can point me to
that. The jury was entitled to infer from the label OC on the one canister that it was, in fact, OC spray rather than something else. It would be necessary to go outside the record to speak to mace. My understanding is that mace is a name brand, and at various points in time, the canisters have contained different substances. But that's not discussed in the record. Let me simply move on. The jury saw what happened. And unless they were plainly wrong in finding that a gas was released, this court must approve their finding. However, the Commonwealth is asking the court here today to rely upon what the General Assembly did and to resolve this case by holding that OC spray is tear gas within the meaning of Section 18.2-312. The General Assembly used the simple term tear gas in the statute. The General Assembly didn't say CS gas. It didn't say CN gas. The General Assembly clearly is referring to any of these sorts of irritants that are used for purposes of crowd control and dispersion, and there's absolutely no reason to believe the General Assembly did not intend to include OC, which is the most commonly used irritant for that purpose. It would be absurd to include that after specifically excluding police use of irritants from the coverage of the statute, that the General Assembly included in the statute the most commonly used police irritant and didn't provide an exception for the police for using OC spray. That just wouldn't make any sense. You know, it's very clear the General Assembly could have spoken about a particular substance. I recall many years ago, I think it was in the context of DUI, there was a question of the substance that had to be used to disinfect a person's arm before taking a blood sample. And I seem to recall the statute required betadine, and the testimony of the witness was that the witness had used benadine. And this court reversed the conviction because the specific substance identified in the statute had not been used. In this case, tear gas is a generic term. We would ask the court to hold that tear gas is inclusive of OC spray and other irritants, including the irritant that was used, that caused, in fact, the victim in this case, extreme burning, extreme pain, and borderline incapacitation. And for those reasons, we ask the court to affirm.
Very well, thank you. Your rebuttal, sir?
Yes, sir.
Why isn't tear gas a generic term?
Tear gas is not a generic term because I think the legislature specifically said tear gas and then it listed two other gases. Those two other gases are not generic terms, so I think we have to read it in line with that. And tear gas is not a generic term here. Tear gas is not pepper spray. Pepper spray is OC spray. Tear gas is made from a completely different substance. OC spray is made from peppers. That's what it is. It's oleocapsicum. That is the thing that makes you taste heat when you eat a pepper. And that's what OC spray is.
But we don't know any of those things because there were no experts at trial to tell us exactly what was in those things. And you used officer, I believe her name was Cameron.
Correct.
And she really didn't have a wealth of knowledge in reference to that either. Is that not correct?
Absolutely correct. And what I'm relying on is the testimony of Mr. Polk, where he said he knew it was pepper spray because of the odor. It's an odor of peppers is what he was referring to. So I think that we can infer that this was pepper spray. But there were two canisters. One of them said OC spray. Mr. Houdin said that's the one that she sprayed him with. But the other, Mr. Polk, said that was the pink one. And that one did say Mace on it. But Mace is a brand name, and they make tear gas, they make OC spray. We don't know what was in there. That's absolutely correct. And so looking at the facts of this case, I don't know if this court has enough information to make such a broad ruling as to whether pepper spray falls under this statute or not, but I think it can make a ruling that in this case it was a liquid that caused the injury, it wasn't a gas, and it wasn't the odor from the liquid that caused the injury, specifically the liquid. And so I would ask that you overturn the convictions. I would also ask that you not find that pepper spray is under this statute.
Very well. Thank you very much. In keeping with our tradition, we'll come down and greet counsel, and thereafter we will take up the case of Waller versus the Commonwealth.